Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. The future of historic Strathmore House on the former Brookside property in Coburg has some people worried. Architectural preservation advocate Rob Michael is one of them. As president of the Architectural Conservancy of Ontario, Northumberland and Eastern Ontario branch, he is very concerned. As an expert in heritage buildings and preservation, he would know. In this interview, he will outline the current state of things. He will update the steps being taken to preserve Strathmore House and other significant buildings on the property. Listen and see what you think. I am absolutely delighted to have with me today Rob Michael, president of the Architectural Conservancy of Ontario, Northumberland, Eastern Ontario branch. Welcome to Consider This Northumberland.
Thanks. Thank you for having me back again. It's a pleasure to be here.
Let's get right to it. Is there any reason to be concerned about the future of Strathmore House?
Yes.
Can you explain?
There is. Yes. Well, as you know, and most people know, it was the government sold it in January or in November, December last year to Traco, a development company. And in January, it's been resold again to new owners, a company called York Development. And the owner's Ali Sufan, I believe the name is. So if anyone's been by it lately, it's deteriorating. We as yet don't know any of the plans that are for the building. The last people did say they were interested in preserving the heritage bits, but again, having worked in Toronto for years, I meet that with cynicism, but then they basically flipped the property to another owner. So we now have a situation again with a new owner, and they also have said they're interested in finding uses for the buildings, but they have had some controversy over a development that they did in London, which included the Middlesex Courthouse, a very historic 1850s Gothic style courthouse. And they built very tall condos next to it, but as of this moment, and then it was sold to a new developer, and as of this moment, the building there sits empty and is deteriorating. So and that's a concern to us in terms of the future of Strathmore. We have people in our group that have reached out to the owners, and they seem cooperative, but in this kind of process, you never know what's going to happen and how sincere or insincere they are. So we are moving ahead with the designation of the property, which would be designated under Part 4 of the Ontario Heritage Act.
So let's, before we get into all of what's going forward, has anyone from the Architectural Conservancy of Ontario toured the house recently to see the state of it?
Not as recently, like within the last while, but there were people in a few months ago, 6 months ago, not necessarily our people, but it's still in relatively good shape in the interior. Most of the original, I went through it in 2017, 2018, and just about the entire interior was intact from the days of the house, but there doesn't seem to there's been some deterioration, but it's not distressing at the moment. The exterior looks more distressing than the interior.
So, have you been in the building or around the building at all to make an assessment since the new owners have taken possession?
Well, from what I can see, the and have been told by others that it's still in structurally sound.
But I'm asking you something straightforward, please. Is
Okay.
it, has somebody been in it or around it enough to assess it since it's been sold?
I would say yes. But I'm not, the town and the owners have said it's in good shape, so, or relatively good shape, but it deteriorates. No.
But not from your organization.
Not from our, as I recall, not from my organization.
How much would it take to preserve the building? What needs to be done right away or within the next few months to ensure that this building isn't going to be lost?
Well, at our last meeting, we voted to write to the town to have the building secured, to have an inspection made of the property to ensure there are no leaks, no problems with electricity, that kind of issue. Make sure the foundation is in order, correct any problems, board the windows up on the basement and ground floor. Those sorts of things should secure it, and to request that there are in regular inspections placed on both that property and the Cottesmore Hall stables that is on located off Cottesmore. It's another important heritage building of the property. So we're also going to ask that maybe fencing be erected around the house closer to its. Closer to the house rather than having just the whole property wrapped in a fence. We may ask for lighting, proper lighting. Those are the things that will secure it. That was the problem with Sidbrook, is that it was allowed to deteriorate before they took measures to prevent the deterioration.
But who should be financially responsible when you say your committee? You're talking about the Heritage Committee for the town, is, or are you talking about the Architectural Conservancy of Ontario?
I'm writing through the branch, our local branch of the Ontario Conservancy of Ontario.
You're saying the town should be financially responsible for this. We know that the town very tight on its budget. How much would something like this cost?
I have no idea. The town may not necessarily be responsible. The owner is the ultimate person responsible, and they have property standards, bylaws, which the town can enforce, which again was a shame that wasn't enforced in Sidbrook. The other day, I live around Abbott Boulevard and I saw a municipal town officer on a vacant building overseeing repairs through the property standards. And I said, well, how does this work? And he said, well, we fix it and we put the costs onto the person's property taxes. So there's no reason that can't be done here, as far as I know.
Has anyone from your organization or from the Heritage Advisory Committee of Cobourg Council spoken with the owners at all?
Yes.
What
In
was
fact,
that conversation about and what was discussed?
well, the future of the building was discussed, what their plans were. One of our members talked just recently, and I'm about to email. Have an email conversation with the owners. And so, again, they're interested in the heritage properties. They say they're considering options on the heritage properties. But they're still, again, in the early stages because they bought it. So, but we have to treat, to me anyway, that with some reserve and continue to. Fight to ensure that the building stands well, negotiating with the developers and new owners and to finding out exactly what their plans are for the building and if what they say is actually what they're going to do. We don't know, they could flip it tomorrow, as far as we know. So it's a very precarious kind of process.
Before we go too far, would you take a moment to remind us about the historic buildings located on this former Brookside property?
Yes, for sure. What people see now looks like a large park with a one of Coburg's most prominent summer houses surviving. Originally, there were four summer houses along King Street East. There, two have been demolished. This parcel originally contained Cottesmore Hall, which was a summer house for Wallace Hurt Rowe, built in 1906 by very prominent American architects. The one that stands, Strathmore, was built by Charles Donnelly, a Pittsburgh industrialist. It contains within it a house built by Judge Clark, Solicitor General of the CPR. Strathmore is a very good example of the Beaux-Arts classical style, style that became popular at the turn of the century. It was designed by prominent Eastern and Central architects Power and Son, who did many of the buildings at the turn of the century in Coburg, like the high school and the public schools, things like that. So they're very intertwined in Coburg history. The Rose Stables, designed by Rattan and Russell, is the only building of its kind, I believe, or by those architects in Canada. It was Rattan studied under H.H. Richardson, which was a very famous American architect. And it's a beautiful, small by comparison to the houses, stable. We also have the Brook Road Creek running through the property, which is one of the main heritage waterways in town. So that's a significance, and some minor significant buildings are the old manager's house and a chicken coop. But the property before they were summer houses represented agriculture and cattle. There was a tannery on the site by the Brook Road Creek. So the whole there's a whole history of Coburg tied up with this amazing piece of property, which is 32 acres, which we will never have the chance to get again. So we want to ensure it's developed in a way that meets community standards and wishes, as well as being a good development.
You've already mentioned Sidbrook a couple of times and drawing a comparison between Strathmore House and how the Sidbrook building was treated. For those who may not know, can you give us a quick recounting of the historic significance of Sidbrook, its location, and its current condition?
Yes, Sidbrook is located right at the southeast corner of Abbott Boulevard and King Street. It's an amazing structure, and it was originally built in 1857 by Henry Mason, and the original designs were by Kivas Tully, who designed St. Peter's Church and, of course, the Town Hall, so a major architect of the 19th century. It had additions, again, prominent families of Coburg, but in 1900 it was bought by William Abbott of Pittsburgh, who enlarged the house and made it into his summer house, where they had lived for 48 years. Its property extended all the way back to the lake and includes Abbott Boulevard and Coronation Crescent. Again, contained in the first two floors are an excellent example of early Italianate Renaissance architecture of Ontario. It's basically the Italian villa that they kept there and then added a third floor to it. So that in itself, and by Kivas Tully, is very important. Plus, as a sort of Beaux-Arts grand summer house, these things are what are unique to Coburg. There aren't many towns that had 14 or 15 grand summer houses contained within the town. They're unique to Coburg, and unfortunately, after it was subdivided in the 50s, it became a private hospital until it closed 20 or more years ago, and has kind of just been allowed to what we call demolition by deterioration or demolition by neglect. And at some point over the years, there could have been early intervention, especially with the roof that was leaking. and there wasn't. So for a brick building, it was a solid brick building. It's been there for 20 years, decaying, and it's only been in the last years that it's been, seems to be beyond repair. But there were steps that could have been taken, and there were some owners interested, but it's just something that would, I don't think, have been allowed in other towns with more progressive heritage ideas.
You place some of the responsibility of Sidbrook at the feet of town council. What has council done in this case to protect Strathmore?
Well, right at the moment, we're going through the designation process. There seems to be quite a bit of support on council for the designation. Not that that necessarily will stop a demolition, because Sidbrook was designated as well. So, but we're early days in that negotiation as well. What they can do are these measures to secure the buildings, or have the buildings secured. That would be the first step. And then from there, depending on what the owner does, it goes through, of course, as a development review process and a land use planning process. So at those points, the town can influence the way in which the developers are presenting proposals and development, what they're going to develop. And they can also kind of every as again, a lot of these larger developments are a process of negotiation between city and town, and what will be provided and what not. I think the town could sort of start to negotiate for preserving the buildings, whether the town they come into the public domain again, or whether they're used in some way. The courthouse in London was supposed to be a facility for the development complex. So they're very, it's a very useful buildings. And again, when you demolish something, you're not only demolishing a unique part of history and something we'll never have again, but you're also creating a lot of carbon emissions now into the atmosphere. So we also like to look at the environmental impacts of demolishing buildings. And whatever replaces it, if it's demolished, say Sidbrook's demolished and they put up a condominium, no one's ever going to go by and say, "Oh, I wonder what the history of that building is. Oh, that's so interesting, that building." Generally speaking, so you lose a lot in so many ways when these buildings are allowed to go.
Going back to talking about the town and its involvement, has the Heritage Advisory Committee been working with the Architectural Conservancy of Ontario to make recommendations to council with regards to this building?
Well, they are, because I'm on that committee as well. So that's where the designation comes through. One of our ACO members has requested the designation. The town has made a report. It was, we had a lot of public support for that. So we're waiting for that report to come back. I was just asked actually today to write the designation description for the property. So I can say that we are working with the town and the heritage planner in terms of some of the early stages of the process. But it's, again, when it comes to the plan, the development site review, that things really are important.
It's one thing to preserve a building, but the bigger question is what can be done with it? I
Yes.
know that there's the cultural master plan, and it's called for efforts by the town to create artistic spaces. And I know that that's been discussed in the past. I think you even talked to me the last time we spoke about
Yep.
that kind of thing. Can you outline any ideas that are being bounced around beyond it being an art space?
Right. Well, the point is, because it preserves a uniqueness and identity of the town, it could come into the public domain. That's a possibility, at which time, depending on what's negotiated, a number of things could be proposed. As you say, there's been some talk and some support for a cultural hub there. You know as well as anyone the need for more theater space and more cultural space. But that's a big effort. But it could also, the other things have been restaurants or an inn like St. Anne's, in some, if you can find a buyer for it. There are programs within the federal, provincial government that will help with the restoration, rehabilitation of these buildings. It's already got fire and water alarm systems within them, whether they need to be upgraded. So a lot of the infrastructure that you need to use for businesses or other activities, like a restaurant, it has the bones or even up to the standards that those wouldn't have to be added to it. So you could also rent it out as various offices, either for nonprofits or for profit. There's a whole number of things that you possibly could. Now that if the developer, like the one on Cottesmore, the Rose Stables, would is a perfect example of where you can make some really beautiful, four or five beautiful condos within a small, within the structure, and have it self-support and be, even severed from the initial property. So, and it doesn't have interiors like the house does, so you have a lot more flexibility with what can be done on the interior. But, this isn't, we're not reinventing the wheel. If you look in Peterborough at Mount, the old Sisters of St. Joseph Convent, that community is rehabilitating that convent for community use, for seniors, for residences for seniors. If you look at the asylum in Buffalo, just like $15,000 or $20,000, they're rehabilitating it into offices and a hotel and spaces. So, there had been talk of turning it into some kind of school, either a culinary school or a program to teach building trades as it's restored. There are all kinds of ideas. You just have to find the one that's going to fit, that people want to do and can be done. But this is, communities across Ontario and across the world and the United States do this all the time. So I wrote an article for the ACO, the Acorn magazine, on Sidbrook when they were doing things on the subject was hospitals. So
Rob, before you go on that tangent, the purpose of any developer is to make money.
yes.
There may be some people who say, let the developer alone. Let them decide. Why is that not a good alternative? It's their property.
Well, it's their property, but you could say that about any property. There, no one can just do what they want with property. There are building codes and there are planning codes, which are generally more restrictive. You also can argue the positive aspects about it. Say that that was a cultural center with a theater next incorporated into the development, then that provides a huge incentive for people to live in whatever is being built. Like it can support and enhance the development rather than some four-story condo or something that goes on it. There are ways that you can use heritage, and it's again done quite a lot over the in different areas where the it becomes an added bonus. So I don't think it's and we lack in Coburg, planning has always been land planning. Land, you look at the map and you divide it up, but really Coburg needs more of an urban planning aspect where you look at the what is the three-dimensional aspect of a development, and how does that relate to Coburg's character and uniqueness which also have an impact on economic development within the town. So there are lots of ways Strathmore could be used as a way to attract people and build economic development as well. It's not just always a feel-good thing. Heritage preservation is something that most communities use as its main thrust in terms of downtown revitalization and other means to boost economic prosperity. So, oh, sorry.
How much of an appetite do you think residents in Coburg have for taking on this project?
Well, yeah, they may not have to take it on, but I have been surprised at the support, and I think Coburg has now reached a point where people are, I've been doing this since like 1970s, as you probably know. But this time the feeling is different. When we had, a couple hundred people come out to test how much support there was for keeping the heritage elements of Strathmore or even making it a public property, it was overwhelming. And there continues to be a strong sense of support. And the large attendances at my talks show that people are now to the point where they feel they're losing the uniqueness and character of Coburg, and they want that to stop. So I think we're after 40 years, 50 years of doing this, I feel there's a turning point here of people's opening the windows and saying we're not going to take it anymore.
Are there any plans for the Architectural Conservancy of Ontario to purchase the buildings?
The ACO, the Architectural Conservancy of the provincial, they don't buy buildings.
I thought they did. I thought that they would
That might
intervene.
be the Ontario Heritage Trust.
Okay.
So they own Barnum House, but right now they've actually mothballed quite a number of their Fulford Place in Brockville, and Barnum House's been essentially mothballed in a number of others, so they're not in that business anymore.
So then it would be up to the town if anybody
Town
was going to
or
purchase.
it would be like Victoria, the restoration of Victoria, if it became into a public domain and the building was able to get at a for a dollar a reasonable space, then you'd have a situation like the restoration of Victoria Hall, I would
Or
see.
maybe an angel investor or something
Yes,
like that.
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
Okay.
there's lots of people in my back pocket that lived in Coburg or ancestors that have quite a bit of money, so that might be one place to start. And but yeah, so it depends on the it all depends on what the building can be used for, but keeping it standing as long as possible in good shape is basically what we're trying to do at this moment.
The current situation around the world and in Canada and in our community, there's so much uncertainty, there's so much chaos.
I know.
How do you get people to care about this kind of thing in a moment like this?
Well, surprisingly, there has been, as I said before, I mean, in some ways, it can be something that's very optimistic for the future when you're preserving and rehabilitating something and providing uses for people's needs in a time of a change. I think we have enough capacity within ourselves to sort of split in terms of, we recognize these are threats. I sometimes say to myself, what's the use of preserving, doing all this sort of obsessive research on Coburg when we might not have a world in 50 years? That's my negative view sometimes, but we can't, you can't, that is probably not going to happen, and we have to, I think, remain positive and build towards a future rather than worry about whether the future is going to be here or not. So,
I understand you have an upcoming presentation. Can you tell us about it?
yeah, this is the second in a series of lectures that the ACO is presenting, of which I'm giving. I did one on March 3rd on Lost Coburg, all the beautiful buildings and structures we've lost. This next lecture is going to be on the surviving wealth of structures that we have left. And people say Coburg is a beautiful town now, which is a sort of testament to it because it lost several hundred heritage buildings already. So this is going to talk about Coburg's architecture, the architectural styles, what makes Coburg unique. And then there will be one final talk on March tw May 26th on the summer colony. And I think everyone will be very interested in that, as Coburg was at one time called the Newport of the North and Canada's premier summer resort for the rich and famous. And yes, and they're all at Victoria Hall. The doors open at 6:30. They start at 7, and you can get tickets at the box office or buy it at the door or on at our info at C or e transfer at info at acocen.ca.
What should people be looking for next?
They should be waiting for the town to bring it forward for designation. That would be the first thing. We have a loosely styled committee. So we are looking then to discuss with the town and the province. We've had discussions with MPP Pacini over the last few months. So I think they should be looking for some progress, but also be ready to come out and help support the cause if things become difficult. We've had a lot of support. We've had people going to council meetings, writing letters or emails. So that we're in a lull right now because we had the provincial election, plus we're waiting for the designation. But now that those things are coming to an end, then hopefully we can move forward and get into some serious discussions about the future. But we need everybody at the table, so I think there's been a lot of support, and quite a few councillors have been supportive.
Rob Michael, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Well, thank you for inviting me, and I always enjoy talking about Coburg.
That was Architectural Conservancy of Ontario, Northumberland Eastern Ontario Branch President Rob Michael. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.